engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Fellow Americans, it's Eric Erickson here, and I am delighted to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425 if you want to be on the program. If you text ENGAGE to 33777, you can get a ticket to the gathering. It's August 8th, 9th, and 10th in Atlanta, Georgia. Kevin Stitt, the governor of Oklahoma, is going to be there. Kevin Stern is going to be there. Kevin Hearn, rather. Ryan Walters, the Oklahoma school superintendent, who just announced that he wants teachers in Oklahoma to start teaching Bible in class. He's going to be there. Brian Kemp's going to be there. Mike Pence is going to be there. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is going to join us as well. Would love to have you in Atlanta August 8th, 9th, and 10th. Text ENGAGE to 33777 to come. It should be a fantastic time. And would love to have you. Now, I got to move into this larger issue. I'll take your phone calls here, but I think this is important. I want to say this in all seriousness. I'm not being flippant. This is not a joke. The odds have gone up today that a progressive tries to assassinate Donald Trump. Don't mean that to be hysterical. I don't mean it for hyperbole. I worry about that. Don't say it can't happen. James Hodgkinson, fueled by the rhetoric he was hearing on MSNBC and from Democrats, attempted the mass assassination of Republican members of Congress not that long ago. You have Democrats today blatantly misrepresenting the Supreme Court's decision on Donald Trump immunity, claiming that the Supreme Court says that a president can't assassinate his political rivals and not have immunity. That's not what they said at all. In fact, they said quite the opposite. But that's what they're saying. They're being irresponsible in their talking points. Listen, if the rhetoric of MSNBC could convince James Hodgkinson to commit the mass assassination of Republican members of Congress, the anchors on MSNBC saying if Donald Trump gets elected, he literally could assassinate people. And look at what's happening with Joe Biden right now. You're going to inspire a progressive to try to assassinate Donald Trump. And I don't think they'll care at MSNBC. It's a choice on their part. And I do think they would be totally fine with it. I think they root for it and are trying to incentivize it with the hysteria of their coverage. I am really concerned about it. I thank the Supreme Court or the Secret Service for protecting Donald Trump. Really am concerned about it. The Democrats decided to beat Donald Trump through lawfare. They decided they would throw him in jail. They decided they would throw everything at him in court, keep him tied up in court, bankrupt him, all through the courts. And the Supreme Court did hand them a defeat today because it will take longer for them to try, and in many of the ways they wanted to try, they will fail now. Presidents of the United States do not have immunity for actions they took while president that were personal, private actions of the president unrelated to the job. But for actions related to his job, he has immunity. That's driving Democrats insane. At the same time, when you look over on the Democratic side, what do they have now? They have a dementia-addled patient trying to get the nuclear codes for four more years, who, according to leaks from the White House now, are, he's only fit between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. every day. He's only fit for 6 hours in the day. We hope that when terrorists attack or China invades Taiwan, that they do it between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern time, so that the president of the United States is fit and competent. All of that being said, I want to lay this out for you in very serious terms of what this means for the Democrats, because there are a series of stories out. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, she, hey Siri, stop. For some reason, people, Siri is activated in my office and just started reading children's books. Apparently, when I said I was going to talk about Joe Biden, she thought I needed a children's story. That's very fitting, given the contents and the mental capacity of Joe Biden. But nonetheless, I was actually talking about Gretchen Whitmer, who told a senior Biden campaign official, Jen O'Malley Dillon, who's the campaign manager for Joe Biden, that she didn't believe Michigan was winnable for Joe Biden after the debate. Whitmer now says that she publicly supports Joe Biden. She says she believes he'll win Michigan. What's notable here, though, is that the cracks are starting to show up publicly. That they were always there. They were always there. The Democrats have been unified because of Joe Biden and their desire to beat Donald Trump. But now they're not sure Joe Biden can beat him, and the cracks are starting to show up. Leaks from inside the White House we've never gotten before from staff saying that Joe Biden isn't actually competent except between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. And other than that, they have to shelter him, protect him, and put him in a bubble. Criticisms of Jill Biden, Jill, not Joe, coming from Democrats whispering that she's like Edith Wilson. Jonathan Martin of the Politico has this out today. When Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer telephoned a senior official with President Biden's campaign on Friday night, she wanted to convey a clear message. She hated the way her name was being floated as a replacement for Biden, and she was not behind the chatter. Whitmer's conversation with the official, campaign chair Jennifer O'Malley Dillon, was cordial but awkward by its very nature. In the aftermath of the president's disastrous debate performance last Thursday, no would-be replacement has been the recipient of more wish-casting among Democrats than the second-term Michigan governor. Whitmer, recognizing as much, disavowed the draft Gretch chatter. She used the call to reiterate her commitment and willingness to help the president, but also voiced her concern about how much more difficult the campaign would be. Even more revealing is how word of the call reached me. This is Jonathan Martin writing. From someone close to a potential 2028 Whitmer rival for the Democratic presidential nomination, this person said Whitmer had phoned O'Malley Dillon with more of an ambiguous message to relay that Michigan was no longer winnable. That such political blade work is already taking place illustrates how badly her rivals want to wound Whitmer by portraying her as being disloyal to Biden in his hour of need. Yet it also captures what an extraordinary and extraordinarily precarious moment this is for the well-stocked bench of Democratic governors eager to succeed Biden. No Democrat, at least this side of Biden and Kamala Harris, has more at stake in the president's fate than the governor's. If Biden does take the highly unlikely step of dropping out of the race, a group of them would assuredly join the lightning-quick contest to replace them. Yet if any of them dares speak up now about their concerns, when nearly every elected Democrat is rallying to Biden, it would be construed by the president and his defenders as an act of self-interested treachery and be hung around their neck in 28. Not wrong. Chuck Todd on NBC, he made a very similar point to the point I made earlier in the program about the Democrats. Their attacks on Republicans are always that they put the party over the country. Aren't they doing the same thing here?
And if the party of identity politics passes over the first African-American female vice president to choose somebody else, there's going to be all kinds of riff.
But this is, you know, Democrats want to lecture Republicans for not putting party over country and how they've been enabling of Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell is frequently criticized for that moment where he decided to prioritize not dividing his own party and letting Trump off the hook by not voting to convict him during the impeachment. Can Democrats really sit there and say, you know, this is not about whether you think Biden can win the election. He might be able to win the election. It's not because he's Joe Biden. It's because he's not Donald Trump. The real issue is he telling the truth about whether he can serve a full 4 years? And this, there's a lot of challenges in the world. We want a president who could be incapacitated? This is one of those where you got to say to yourself, this is hard. There's no doubt. There's risk no matter what you do here. But you got to say to yourself, what's in the best interest of the country, not the party? What's in the best interest of the country in the next 4 years?
And I think people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fair point.
He's right. This is how Margaret Brennan started CBS Face the Nation yesterday.
We begin this morning with reaction to the first presidential debate of 2024. Our polling unit asked voters how they view the candidates now, including their cognitive health. The results are not encouraging for the president. The number of voters who say President Biden has the cognitive ability to serve has dropped from 35% earlier this month to 27% after the debate. That's the lowest number since CBS began asking voters that question last September. Nearly three quarters of all registered voters now say he shouldn't be running. And nearly half of Democrats say he shouldn't remain the nominee. An extraordinary number.
Pause. 55% of Democrats, a majority of Democrats, say Joe Biden should be the nominee.
Didn't face a competitive primary.
Well, now it froze. But that's it froze because I said pause. 55% of Democrats think he should stay in the race. Oh, but it gets no better over at NBC and Meet the Press.
It is yet another extraordinary moment in the 2024 election cycle, with Democrats in a state of crisis after President Joe Biden delivered a disastrous debate performance that fueled voters' top concerns about his age and ability to serve another 4 years in office. Not since the first Nixon-Kennedy debate in 1960 has a debate had as much potential to shake up a presidential race. This morning, there is widespread panic within the Democratic Party and questions about whether the president should drop out of the race.
I think it was a disaster. I think it was like maybe the worst debate I've ever seen in my entire life.
I do think people feel like that we are confronting a crisis.
There are going to be discussion about whether he should continue.
At first it was shocking, then it was scary, then it was sad, and by the end it was absurd. Is the riskiest path sticking with Joe Biden, or is the riskiest path saying we want someone else? And anybody who says that that is not a tough call right now is full of
On Friday, in a stunning move, the New York Times editorial board called on President Biden to serve his country and drop out of the presidential race. NBC News has learned that President Biden is expected to address his campaign with his family at Camp David. That's according to five people familiar with the matter. Now, he and First Lady Jill Biden arrived there late last night to join their children and grandchildren in a trip planned before Thursday's debate. The campaign was always going to be a topic of conversation, but now undoubtedly Thursday's debate will be front and center.
How you think? By the way, they told him to stay in the race. I told y'all, this is another thing I said, and people got mad at me for being so blunt. When you've got a man who abandoned his two sons after their mother died so that he could go play senator, and now his surviving son and daughter are both drug addicts, and his surviving son turned his dead son's wife into a crackhead, you do not have a functional family that can say, Dad, it's time to retire. No, they need the gravy train and the potential power of pardons. There was never a chance that Biden's family was going to tell him to come home and retire. They need him in Washington. Jill Biden wants him in Washington. She's afraid he'll die the moment he leaves office, and she'll have to put up with Hunter by herself, which she does not want to do. Meantime, disaster grows for Democrats. There's absolute panic. I am deeply worried that this drives a progressive to violence against Donald Trump. We should be praying for him and the Secret Service that surrounds him.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday.
Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. I want to go to Dave calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Eric. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I had a quick question for you. My wife and I watched the debate on Thursday, and we kept hearing about these 29 fact checkers and haven't heard a single word out of them. And I was wondering if you know what happened to them.
Okay. You know, it's funny. The media talks about well, I should just start here. CNN is actually under attack for not having real-time fact checkers fact-checking Donald Trump during the debate. CNN's position is that Donald Trump had a political opponent on the stage who could have taken the initiative to fact check Donald Trump and chose not to do it. It was not their job. Their job was to ask questions. The weaponizing of these fact checkers by the media has been absurd. I will say this, though. Donald Trump, when he talked about the fact checkers and his statement in Charlottesville, he actually is correct. In fact, Snopes.com, which is not exactly a site friendly to Republicans, actually has admitted that Donald Trump never meant that the Nazis and white supremacists were very fine people in his statements on Charlottesville, Virginia. That's actually Snopes.com. Let's see. Snopes, very fine people. Where is this? Snopes, no, Donald Trump did not call neo-Nazis and supremacists very fine people. It is false. In a news conference after the rally protesting the planned removal of a Confederate statue, Trump did say there were very fine people on both sides, referring to the protesters and counter-protesters. He said in the same statement he wasn't talking about neo-Nazis and white nationalists, who he said should be condemned totally. This was updated right before the debate, interestingly enough. So, yeah, fact-checkers are just partisan progressives in the press who are upset we don't take them super seriously. That's all it is. And just kind of miserable, unhappy people as well. So anyway, yeah. But yes, the fact checkers, it didn't exactly get very far, which I think is kind of funny. Now, we must move on. So folks, America's the first nation in history that's actually founded on an idea. I assume y'all knew that. But that idea is of God-given natural rights. My friends at Hillsdale College want you to join them in celebrating the founding on July 4th. They've created a special July 4th video that I think just might inspire you. If you go to ericforhillsdale.com, you can see the video for free. The video portrays Thomas Jefferson reflecting on the Declaration of Independence and one of his final letters written prior to his death on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration. The day he died was the 50th anniversary of July 4th. It'll help you remind, this video will, and remind our children and fellow citizens about the blessings of liberty and the need to preserve them. All you have to do is go to ericforhillsdale.com to view the video. In appreciation, you'll receive a free commemorative copy of the Declaration of Independence from my friends at Hillsdale College to keep or pass on to someone you know and love. It's a limited time offer, so don't delay. You go to ericforhillsdale.com today. You see the video about Thomas Jefferson, and you get a free copy of the Declaration of Independence. And on behalf of Hillsdale College, happy Independence Day to you.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425, if you want to be on the program. I want to spend a few moments with you on the Supreme Court cases. I won't go in depth other than the Trump case, but there were other big cases today from the United States Supreme Court you at least need to appreciate, one of which sounds very boring. Corner Post Incorporated versus Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. The other one is Moody versus Net Choice. I want to start with Moody. because Moody was a case. It was decided by Elena Kagan. All of the justices agreed with the judgment. They didn't all agree with the reasoning. Robert, Sotomayor, Kavanaugh, and Barrett joined in full. Justice Jackson joined in parts. Justice Barrett filed a concurring opinion. Sam Alito filed an opinion concurring in the judgment, and Thomas and Gorsuch did as well. Essentially, what the court said was that it doesn't have enough information to decide the case about regulating social media companies as utilities, and it needs to go back to Texas, to the district court, and a lot more questions need to be answered. I told you all last week that I was coming to the conclusion the thing you had to understand about Justice Barrett is that she is in no rush, unlike Thomas and Alito, to effect some conservative revolution on the court. She's headed that way, but she's in no rush. And her concurrence in this net choice case essentially says just that, that the court should never have been in the position to hear this case because there were so many questions left unanswered that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers Texas and is very conservative, they rushed to get a decision and they never should have rushed that fast. And she's not going to rush faster. So go back, take your time and get it right. That's Amy Coney Barrett's position. Barrett wrote the decision in Corner Post versus the Fed, Federal Reserve. This is a very boring case that has far-reaching implications. In fact, this case with Looper Bright from last Friday have more far-reaching impact on your daily lives than the presidential immunity case with Donald Trump. Here's the basic scenario of this case. In 2011, the Federal Reserve made a decision and published a regulation on interchange fees for credit card purchasing, credit card processors. Corner Post started its business in 2018 and believes that it was negatively impacted by the Federal Reserve's regulation from 2011. There is a statute, and that statute says that you have to sue within 6 years of a right accruing to sue under a regulation. In other words, the way this has always been interpreted, if a regulation goes into effect, you have 6 years in which to file a lawsuit from the time the regulation goes into effect. After that, you're precluded. Well, Corner Post was not even a business. It didn't exist in 2011. When it began to be harmed by the regulation, it filed a lawsuit. And the lower court said, you can't file this lawsuit because this regulation existed before you started your business. And Corner Post said, well, I'm being hurt by the regulation. I'm literally being hurt by the regulation. And the district court said, it doesn't matter. You have to file a lawsuit within 6 years of the regulation. Amy Coney Barrett, writing on behalf of a 6-3 Supreme Court, said, no, you can sue when your right to sue becomes effective, and your right to sue becomes effective when you've been hurt by the regulation. So even though this business didn't get started until after a time by which they could sue, that means they couldn't be hurt until they got started, and now they've been hurt, and they've got 6 years from when they're hurt to sue. It's not 6 years from when the regulation is passed. It's 6 years from when you're injured by the regulation. Now, progressives are outraged by this. It's funny. They think the court is giving the executive branch too much power, and here's Looper Bright, and now this Corner Post case saying, actually, the executive is going too far, has too much power. We need to roll it back, and it's Congress's job. What does this actually mean? Well, here's how this impacts you. There are a whole lot of federal regulations that hurt businesses, but those businesses did not exist until after the regulation was passed, those businesses can now sue. The dissent is warning that this is opening the floodgates to a ton of litigation against the regulatory state. Good. Good. Don't make me like this case more than I already do. It sounds very boring, but here's a catch, and this is your real-world way of understanding this. When Congress passes a regulation and the regulatory agency makes a rule based on the regulation or based on the law, very often when a new president takes over and new people come in, those people never change the rule. They change how they interpret the rule. You got that? When a Democrat comes into power and replaces a bunch of Republican regulators with Democratic regulators, they don't change the Republicans' rule. They just interpret it differently. What the Supreme Court is saying in the Corner Post case is that if you do that and people are suddenly harmed by your new interpretation of an existing rule, you can get sued. In other words, it means that every 4 years when a president changes, the rules cannot change. The interpretation cannot change, because if the interpretation causes harm, people can sue, even though regulatory agencies didn't think they could. What the court says is that if Congress doesn't like this decision, they can just change it and clarify, but that based on their reading of the statute, if your business didn't come into being and then it does and you're harmed, you should be able to sue within 6 years of being harmed by the regulation. It doesn't matter when the regulation was written. There are going to be a whole lot of EPA regulations that are now challenged in court, and that's a good thing. It's like Looper Bright. The Looper Bright case that came out on Friday, you've got all of these hysterics on the left saying, the Supreme Court says we can't listen to experts. Well, I don't think you should anymore, given the track record of the experts, but that's not what the case was about. The case was about a family-owned business that went out of business because the bureaucrats decided that the family-owned business had to pay for the inspectors of the government who would be on the boats with the fishermen. And the inspectors were being paid so much money, the family could no longer earn a profit, and they had to close their business down. And the Supreme Court says that can't be done. That's not right. The little guy got hurt because the regulators changed their interpretation of the law. It was a good decision. Both of these are good decisions. And I personally think they're right. I personally think that the Supreme Court nailed it. I think that if you're a progressive and you are angry with the Supreme Court reigning in the power of the executive, you think Donald Trump is going to be a dictator and you're upset with the Supreme Court saying not only is the president not a dictator, but the agencies of the federal government have too much power, you should be excited by the United States Supreme Court. You're upset about Project 2025 and this wave of Republicans who might come into office in the bureaucracy and throw out all the libs. You should be real happy with both of these decisions from the Supreme Court. What it tells me, the left's reaction to these cases, is that they're not really upset with Donald Trump being a threat to democracy, and they're not really upset with the heavy-handed authoritarian nature of government. They're upset that they may not have the power to abuse it against people they don't like. That's what all this is about. And that, therefore, then gets to the decision about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, on a debate stage Thursday night, suggested that Joe Biden's actions in office have been criminal, particularly related to the border. What the Supreme Court said today is that you can't throw the president in jail just because you disagree with his interpretation of his office. You may not like the way the president has made a decision. You may not like it, but you can't throw him in jail. Republicans, all of you who want to lock Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas up in jail for their handling of the border crisis, the Supreme Court today said you can't do that. Sorry. You can't lock them in prison because you disagree with how they conducted their time in office. It protects Donald Trump from an over-aggressive prosecutor or protects Joe Biden from an over-aggressive Trump, you should like the decision. But what the left, again, is showing us is they don't like the decision because they want to prosecute their political opponents. And they just presume their opponents would never do the same to them. If Donald Trump can be prosecuted for using the powers of his office in the way he did, Joe Biden can as well. And the Supreme Court's taken it off the table, and they've left very few carve-outs. And the very few carve-outs they've left are ones that could technically still apply to Donald Trump's prosecution over the stolen election stuff. And yet they're having a complete meltdown. A complete meltdown about this on the left. The decision was right. Presidents must have immunity. As John, the minority said, or the dissent said, there's no immunity to the president in the Constitution. And John Roberts' reply is, there's no separation of powers written in the Constitution either, but we see it there. It's plain as day. He's right. Our Constitution was written contemplating the laws that came before it, including that the executive could not be prosecuted by the other branches for their acts in office. It's one of the things that led to the Roman Civil War and the rise of Caesar is they decided in Rome that they were going to prosecute Caesar for the things he did in time in office. And what our Supreme Court saying is you can't do that. You can't risk Caesar crossing the Rubicon, starting a civil war, because you decided to prosecute the president for the things he did that you don't like, but he had the power to do while he was in office. It's a sound decision. And the people who are saying it's not are the hysterics who absolutely are the autocrats who want to be able to use the power against their enemies. And by the way, Joe Biden is doing that. Joe Biden, the president of the United States, is using the presidency against his political opponents. Joe Biden has thrown in prison a 70-some-odd-year-old grandmother in a wheelchair because she prayed and blocked access to an abortion clinic. Meanwhile, he's not using the same law to arrest and try and convict the people blocking access to libraries by Jews. He's weaponized the government against his political opponents. The very thing the Democrats say Donald Trump is doing. And the Supreme Court has restrained that power of the presidency. And the left is angry about it because they want to prosecute their political opponents. They just don't want Donald Trump to be able to do that to them. And they thought they'd be able to throw him in jail. And now it's going to be real hard for them to do that. Now, I got to tell you about Vision Computer, because if you need a computer, they can build you a computer. They can save you money. Call them at 404-COMPUTE or go to visioncomputers.com. They can build you a computer and you get their world-class tech support for free. But let me talk to those of you who don't have Vision's computers, but you need tech support. You can't afford an in-house IT guy for your home. You got to be the IT guy for your kids, and the computers are so fancy these days you can't keep up with it. Or you work in an office and you can't afford an in-house IT guy, but you need somebody to help you with your computers. Vision Computers can do that for $179 per year, not a month, not a week. $179 per year per computer. They can be your IT support. Your employees get a special phone number. They call them 15 seconds or less. They get the answer to their question. They don't know how to do something. They saved a file. They can't find it. Their computer doesn't seem to be working. Their email's got issues. Their printer has issues. Vision Computer anywhere nationwide can help you at home or your office, even if you didn't buy a computer from them. You should buy a computer from them. They'll save you money and give you a great deal. But if you haven't, you could still use their tech support. Call them at 404-COMPUTE. Tell them I sent you. You get an even better deal. VisionComputers.com or 404-COMPUTE.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Yeah, cooking. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. I want to take some of your phone calls. Gavin's been waiting way more patient than he should have to. Gavin, I hope you're still there. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. Doing good. Hey, don't you just wish like everybody in our conservative community would just listen to you instead of coming up with like 10,000 crazy conspiracy theories about what's going to happen with the president?
Honest to God, I had that thought last night after hearing, I got a bunch of emails that I hadn't checked of people thinking, you know, the deep state is so desperate to stop Donald Trump, they're going to assassinate Joe Biden because he won't get out of the race. And I thought, if the deep state is willing to assassinate the Supreme Court, why don't you just take out Trump or maybe stop being stupid and coming up with these conspiracy theories?
Hey, yeah, so I had a question. I heard you on your flagship station on the Mark Arum show talking about Doug Burgum as a potential VP pick. Can you kind of expand for us that don't really know his name, like what he's all about?
Yeah, okay.
And where the heck this guy came from?
Yes. For those of you who don't know, the Trump campaign set up a bunch of websites to poke fun of all the people running in the Republican primary. There was one about Tim Scott, one about Ron DeSantis, one about Nikki Haley, one about Doug Burgum. The Burgum one has now started redirecting to the Trump campaign website. The others are still out there, or it's a 404 errors and you can't see anything. And so a lot of people have interpreted this of maybe Burgum's the nominee. I don't know that you can interpret that, but there has been a lot of buzz. Wall Street Journal came out for him. Some of the major Trump donors have come out for him. Burgum is the governor of North Dakota, and he before that he was a tech executive, sold his company, I think, to Microsoft, made a lot of money. He's been kind of a non-controversial Republican governor. The thing is, though, he has a lot of money. He's richer than Donald Trump. And I think if you're Donald Trump and you're looking for deeper pockets to commit to, Burgum's the guy. Burgum is also, he's not controversial. He's great on energy discussions and oil. He was very articulate on the campaign stage. Every time he spoke, people liked him. He was kind of a nothing for the presidential candidacy. No one ever really kind of got why he was even running. But being vice president, he would be a good, steady vice president. And here's the thing. I don't think Doug Burgum as a vice presidential candidate brings anybody to Donald Trump. But he reassures a whole lot of people about Donald Trump that if something were to happen, he'd be in steady hands and have a good, competent advisor. So I still don't know a lot about him, but people who know him like him, and he's just kind of doesn't rock the boat, which I think is kind of Donald Trump doesn't want somebody to overshadow him. But he's also rich, so there's that. Now, I got to move on. I'll take your phone calls when we get back, 404-872-0745. Gosh, I keep doing that. That's the old phone number. Why is that in my head all of a sudden? 877-973-7425. Omaha Steaks has 50% off site-wide for the 4th of July. You, my friends, can take advantage of it. You go to omahasteaks.com, and you can get anything at the site 50% off, and you can still get it if you order today in time for the 4th of July. And you can get burgers. You can get hot dogs. You can get steaks. You can get chicken. You can get pork chops. You can get desserts. You can get sides. You can even get main courses, and it's all 50% off. You get a lot of burgers at Omaha Steaks, and they've got delicious burgers. Go to their Pure Ground Burgers. If you're overwhelmed by the selection, if you put Eric, E-R-I-C-K, in the search bar, you will see some great options for you that they've tailor-made for you. You go to omahasteaks.com, put Eric in the search bar, get a great package delivered to your door, load up on anything. Y'all, it's 50% off site-wide at Omaha Steaks right now. So go to omahasteaks.com, load up in time for the 4th of July. Your family will thank you. You'll get fantastic burgers, hot dogs, steaks, so much more, and you get their 100% satisfaction guarantee. All of this at omahasteaks.com.